Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. We're with you until 6:30 this evening. Brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murat. They'll take care of your real estate transactions, elder law, estate planning, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. You can go to kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. Get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com.
We love those guys. They are the best. I think we've got some stuff in the works for the fall. I'm going to say that. That's as much as I can say right now.
This is true.
There are things that are in the works that are going to be pretty cool.
The boys could be making moves again, thanks to the good folks over at kmlawyers.com. I think we could say that.
We could say that.
Details to follow, as they say. Nick Shook writes for NFL.com. He's one of their around the league writers. He highlighted four teams today that he thinks are the most improved teams in the NFL since the final snap of last season in the Super Bowl, with the Philadelphia Eagles beating the Kansas City Chiefs. And he highlighted Washington as one of the seven most improved teams in the league. He lists the Cardinals, the Bears, the Raiders, the Vikings, the Patriots, the Jets, and the Commanders. So my first thought with a lot of these teams is the Jets have a new coach and have kind of had a complete culture overhaul and upgrade. So have the Patriots, new coach. That's two of those teams. The Raiders, now Tom Brady's involved. They went and got Pete Carroll. They have a new coach and a new quarterback. Three teams. The Bears have a brand new head coach and offensive philosophy with Ben Johnson. That's four teams. So there's only three teams that are returning a coaching staff and only two teams that are returning a coaching staff and quarterback. Of the seven here that are listed as having dramatically improved, and that is the Arizona Cardinals and the Washington Commanders. But I don't think you hear this idea very often,
no,
perpetuated in the national media, that the Commanders have had a bang-up offseason or one of the best offseasons in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously headlined by Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel, names that we recognize. Tunsil, I think, you know, still a bona fide star in this league. Samuel, questions, but, you know, a lot of deposits in the bank. So My only gripe here is when you say most improved or dramatically improved, most improved, how much better are you going to be than 12-5 and in the NFC title game? That means you win the Super Bowl, but not just like a close one. It's got to be by double digits. You know what I mean? Like it to me, it's there's not as much room for dramatic improvement now. Maybe you're looking at a roster and say they overachieved last year, and in which case I'd start to pick some nits and go, there are areas where they're considerably better. The offensive line being 1-1, I think, to me. I mean, that's kind of the alpha and omega of it. I think weapon-wise, they're better with Deebo Samuel than a hodgepodge of De'Ami Brown and Lamide Zaccheaus and Jameson Crowder and company. But there are areas where I think they're probably worse, defensive line. There are areas where I'm not sure, cornerback. There are areas where I'm still not certain, running back. I mean, there's enough stuff where I'm going, are they dramatically improved? They're better, I think, in a huge area. But dramatically, that seems a lot to me.
Well, I also don't think how they played last year matters at all, honestly, to this. When you talk about the win total and trying to improve on that, because from what I can gather, he's not predicting the teams that are going to have the most dramatic leap in the standings. I think that's a very different conversation. Or the teams that are going to win the most games compared to what they won last year. I think he's talking about who has had the best off seasons, and frankly, that's just about personnel and upgrading talent. So you could be a 2-win team last year or a 15-win team if you were like Washington plus, maybe without the talent, and then you go out and you add a lot and you bring a lot in, and maybe you only win 13 games. But he's saying if you look at the rosters on the final game that each team played last year compared to now, there are 7 teams that really had great off seasons, and Washington's one of them.
Hmm.
So let's look into how he listed the upgrade for Washington, why he was so impressed by what he did. He said the Commanders' stunning 2024 turnaround breathed new life into a franchise that had trudged through plenty of losing in the 21st century. The Commanders entered the offseason with a clear goal, capitalize on their newfound success, and do so fearlessly. Trades for Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil gave them 2 proven veterans to bolster an offense headlined by 2024 Offensive Rookie of the Year Jaden Daniels. Now there are ways things could go poorly, he says, but Samuel struggled to stay healthy, consistently producing in San Francisco in recent years. Tunsil allowed 52 pressures last year, the most that he had in a season since 2018, according to Next Gen Stats. If everything works out, though, the Commanders should be better than they were a year ago when they sprinted all the way to the NFC Championship game. So, I ask you, Danny, he highlights the Deebo Samuel trade, which I think a lot of people feel like is kind of a mystery in terms of if it's going to work really well, backfire. Still a worthwhile proposition.
100% to me,
and I'm
yeah.
thrilled that they did it. And the Laremy Tunsil trade, where we have spent a lot of time, especially right after the trade, talking about how good he is, how much he's going to help. But there is another side of the conversation, which is that the Texans, who had a bad offensive line, who had 1 star offensive lineman in Tunsil, were okay letting him walk out the door. And I kind of couch that as, well, they got to pay their quarterback next year. They're saving up money. They're going to have to take care of C.J. Stroud. So, of course, you can't make Laremy Tunsil one of the highest paid tackles in the league. But they didn't have to do anything right now. They got the most back for him. Think about the Soto deal. You trade him with 3 off seasons and 3 postseasons left, you get more back. So they could have waited a year. Tunsil's not holding out or looking for a new contract. He's just a pretty cheap, economical, elite tackle at this point. But instead, they did it early so that they could get the most back possible. But when you dive into some of the numbers, and he cites the Next Gen Stats, pressures this past year, pressure allowed rate of 8.3%, 4th highest for him in a span of his career now, he's saying it's possible, I guess. The downside is maybe Tunsil is not the same guy we've been seeing him be for years, and that's something Peters in Washington has to consider. But he's very high on Deebo and Tunsil and what they'll add on offense for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, those are the marquee additions. And again, by adding Tunsil, you improved 2 spots on paper, in theory, right? Your left guard spot, you take a guy that played pretty well at left tackle last year, and you would think, ultimately, as the season goes, you're upgrading now at left guard. You took a guy that can play tackle, move him to guard, and maybe you have a star in that regard in Coleman. You had a first-round draft pick in Connerly, opposite. So you now have changed, just by virtue of 2 acquisitions, 60% of your offensive line to start the year. Who plays right guard? I think it's a good position battle at this point, and you're solidified with Piatek at center. So that's the area to me. They went from fine, we can get away with it, to potentially plus. How is it plus plus? Is it elite? Is it awesome? I don't know about that. It could be potentially if Tunsil reverts to form and Connerly's as advertised, and Coleman, you know, is like a duck in water, taken to the left guard spot. But they've improved that area. Again, maybe I'm hung up on this, and you might find me annoying. Everyone else here except for Minnesota was a disaster last year on this list.
Meaning,
right?
Which makes sense, because it's a lot easier to improve a team that's bad.
And that's kind of my point, is like how much better are they than last year for Washington? We've had that conversation a ton.
I think it's really fair. I was surprised. If you're only picking 7 teams, I'm surprised you'd put them on the list.
And that's my point.
But in a vacuum, I kind of get the idea of, in if you are looking at it as, if Deebo Samuel has his second best year of his career, because I don't think a few years ago is happening again, when he was one of the best offensive players, like a DPO, you know, an OPOY type player. I don't think that club's in the bag. But let's say he has an excellent year. Let's say he catches 65 balls, goes for 800, 900 yards, whatever it is. He runs 45 times. He runs for another 350 yards and several touchdowns. And he's Deebo from a couple of years ago in San Fran. and Laremy Tunsil plays at a level where he's a top three offensive tackle in football, then you just made two of the five to seven best offseason moves that anyone will have made in terms of just overall impact acquisitions. They did swing for the fences. I think that was his point. They were aggressive and they went big. They brought in stars. Now, there's a lot of reasons why you could say Debo's not going to play at that level, and I understand that, or they're catching Laremy Tunsil maybe on the downside, possibly. I feel less good about saying that. I'm pretty confident he's going to be good for several more years. See the age of Trent Williams and so many others along the way, like Jason Peters, who have been awesome deep into their 30s. But I get the logic of, if you're ranking the 10 biggest moves of the offseason in terms of just ceiling, best case scenario, I think Debo and Tunsil are really high on that list.
Me too. So again, for me, some that are skeptical of Debo Samuel, let me just play this out for a second and on a quick tangent. They go, well, if you get what you got last year and he's kind of in the decline of his career, you know, that's not that great. I'm going, what did they spend, a sixth rounder, if memory serves, on him, or was it a fifth? I'm blanking on that. But it wasn't a very expensive trade. If I get 800 total yards and 50-some catches from him, rushing and receiving, that's an upgrade from what they had. What they had was guys that would not make rosters.
They gave up this year's fifth.
This year's fifth. That's what it was. Yeah, thank you. So as a floor, if we get last year, this year, a couple of games missed, banged up some for a couple others, but generally 60 catches, give or take, is the average of the last couple of years, 700-plus yards there, a couple hundred yards rushing. Yep, sign me up immediately. That weapon is now the second-best offensive weapon that they have. Maybe third, depends on where you feel about Eckler and his health. But that's the point, is you took the touches that were going to guys that were readily available for all 32 teams to sign at all times in Jamison Crowder and Olamide Zaccheaus, and you gave him the Debo Samuel. I'd much rather have him have the football, even a diminished version from just a couple of years ago. That's an upgrade. The ceiling, I still think, is much higher if he's in that proper space of motivation, prove everybody wrong, let's, you know, have a renaissance Debo season. That's a steal for that value. So yeah, you're swinging for the fences there. So to me, the floor is higher than people I think are giving it credit for. I love the Tunsil move. I got no issue there. But again, overall, those two moves to me are the offseason. The rest of it is head scratch Javon Kinlaw, a lot of faith in Marshawn Lattimore, and where's the pass rush coming from?
But that's kind of the idea, isn't it? Is that if those two moves work, then the rest of it's going to be
just academic.
Fine.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the fact that you didn't do a whole lot else matters a lot less. And it's not like they didn't do a lot. Specifically on defense, they have four new starters that they signed.
Yeah.
And that's if Jacob Martin and Eddie Goldman don't end up starting at all. And I don't think either of them will. But Javon Kinlaw, Dietrich Wise, Jonathan Jones, Will Harris, all four of those guys are going to start plenty for them. They signed a starting kicker. They dramatically upgraded there with Matt Gay, who's been a long-time quality player in the NFL. And they've signed two starters on offense in Debo and Laremy Tunsil. I say signed, but of course, they traded for those guys. They added them. So that's the offseason. We got to get to the defense, though, if we're talking about how much better are they. Because here's my problem. I am willing to say they're way better on offense. Just suspending the what-ifs with Debo and Tunsil that we keep bringing up, let's just say, in a vacuum, you just went and got a really good weapon at receiver and an excellent offensive tackle.
And drafted another one in the first round.
And you brought in another tackle who, at this moment, I don't even know if he's going to start, but possibly would start at right tackle. And when that happens, your first-round pick at right tackle makes your line way more athletic, way more mobile, and you're able to get out in front of screens and do a lot of those things better. Awesome. That is a hugely improved offense. Even though they didn't get the running back that I wanted them to, even though they didn't go out and add a weapon at tight end in case something happens with Ertz, you re-signed Bates, you've still got Sinnott. They're in a really, really good spot. Didn't go get any traditional wide receiver help. I think they were banking on Noah Brown. Hopefully he's not seriously injured. Although I don't know if you saw this. Noah Brown's taking part in like some camp, or there was something he posted on social media within the last day or two about an event that he's going to be participating in, which gives me a little hope that he's not dealing with something really serious.
Yeah, he's not there in a cast.
Exactly.
Or whatever, right.
I don't know anything, but I saw that and I thought, well, maybe this could be more minor than it is major. But hopefully Noah Brown is available. Otherwise, maybe you got a little question at receiver. But let's just say, for the sake of the conversation, because your two biggest moves were on offense, weapon, tackle, you're way better on offense. I can believe that. The problem I have with saying that they're one of the most improved teams in the NFL this offseason is I don't know how much better their defense is. I'm not even convinced their defense will be better. It certainly is a defense with a path to being better. Javon Kinlaw could be really good. We had Logan Paulson on the other day, was singing his praises for his size and his ability to get up the field at that size. I just got a bunch of years worth of not a whole lot of production in the way of numbers with beat reporters from the places he's been on coming on saying it didn't help that much. Now, Washington might be right and they might be wrong. They deserve the benefit of the doubt, by the way. This front office is batting 1,000.
Yep.
They're 1-for-1 on years where they were right and a lot of people were wrong. Maybe that's going to be the case. Dietrich Wise, I actually think, is a really good player. I really like him. Will help against the run. Not sure how much against the pass. But the secondary is a huge question. Will Harris, the thumper from the Saints, who probably starts, I would be shocked if he is as good as what they lost in Jeremy Chinn at the safety position with Quan Martin. Jonathan Jones is an okay corner. I think they're probably better at corner, but they're only going to be good at corner if Marshawn Lattimore can become what he's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still huge questions on the defensive side of the ball. And I cannot say in pen. I will write in Sharpie or pen, whatever you prefer. They're better on offense. I'm writing in pencil that they're better on defense because you lost John Allen and Daron Payne is the last man standing and hasn't had a big year in 4 years.
They're banking on two things on defense to me, looking at their actions. Number one is they'll be so much better stopping the run that takes care of a lot of ills. That to me seemed to be their priorities, to get bigger, to get more physical, to a little bit less speed up front, a little bit less agility up front, a little more power. They want to be able to stop the run. They think that's the priority. That's focus number one. And number two, yeah, they drafted Trey Amos, a kid that I like a lot, who'll end up playing a lot for them. But it's basically Marshawn Lattimore is going to be the guy we thought he was will help our pass defense. They think that's going to solve it, where the rest of us are kind of going, thank you for that. Where's the pass rush coming from?
Right.
How will you affect quarterbacks in this league? How will you affect quarterbacks in your division? How will you affect the quarterbacks that are on your schedule? You got the AFC West. You got a bunch of really good quarterbacks on your schedule. How are you going to bother them? Their answer is, we'll stop the run and Lattimore. I don't know that I'm willing to say their defense is better.
Yeah.
Again, they're smarter than me. They know more than me. Totally understand that. That's not how I would design it. I would go, can I get after the passer? Then kick the rest of my ideas about what I'd like to improve down the line until I'm awesome at bothering the quarterback all the time. Then we could start talking about run stuffing and these dynamic packages and whatever. If you can't disrupt the pass, you're kind of wasting your time, I think, at this point. And that's what I don't know. I don't know how good that part of it's going to be.
Let's open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. The question is, do you agree with the idea that the Commanders are significantly improved? Do you agree with the notion, and this is NFL.com and Nick Shook, saying Washington's one of the most improved teams in the league based on their offseason? And he's obviously letting the Deebo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil additions do heavy lifting. I think there's something to be said, too. Year one to year two is where quarterbacks often make massive leaps. A normal rookie quarterback looks nothing like Jaden Daniels did last year. But then this year is when you see, oh my gosh, that guy's actually going to be the dude. See Josh Allen or somebody like that. That is way more normal. Now, C.J. Stroud looked kind of like Jaden Daniels. You know, he's a different type of player, but he played at an elite level and blew everybody away and made the playoffs and won a playoff game as a rookie. It's hard to build on that and make another gigantic leap when you've already exceeded all the expectations with the Texans. So what happened? He made a small step backward. I'm not expecting that from Jaden, but maybe we shouldn't expect a gigantic leap. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is, if part of his argument was, and oh, by the way, with all these additions, Daniels is about to be a second-year player, and with all of the studying he's done all offseason, is going to be even better than he was last year, that would make a lot of sense if you feel like that's part of them getting better, is that the already good Daniels is about to be even more spectacular. But he doesn't even acknowledge that, or mention
that. Mention, yeah.
It's not even part of what he loves about the offseason. Let's hit the phones next. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Thank you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
NFL.com and a writer named Nick Shook wrote a piece about the teams that have helped themselves the most this offseason, improved the most, and he's got the Commanders as one of the 7 clubs on this list. He points out trading for Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil to give them 2 proven veterans, bolstering the offense that's headlined by Jaden Daniels. But improving the offense, while ideal, and you're never going to get a complaint from me about that, was not really a necessity and certainly wasn't the biggest goal of the offseason. The defense had to be. And as we sit here today, I don't know if their defense is any better. It may actually be worse. It's probably about the same. But how well Daron Payne plays, who they need to get back to his 2022 form, how well Marshon Lattimore plays, who has not played at a real high level since 2021, but certainly last year was a weak link here after he came over, while not healthy, to his credit, those guys might determine the whole thing. If you told me right now Daron Payne plays like a Pro Bowler and Marshon Lattimore looks like a number one corner, then their defense is not only better, but it's probably actually legitimately good.
Yeah, especially the Payne part of it, because we're sitting here going, obviously Lattimore's huge and key, and it influences their entire season, quite frankly, and it'll you know, shed some different light on what they did this offseason or they didn't do this offseason in terms of going big game hunting at corner when they had the space and wherewithal to be able to do that, and they chose not to. But if Payne is a star in the middle again, I don't think 11.5 sacks is reasonable, but call it 7.5, call it 8 with some TFLs in there, some disruptions, some batted passes, some bothering. That's kind of your answer as to where the disruption's coming from. It's him. He has not been that for the most part for the last couple of seasons. Right? I mean, he's been a stay at home, do your job, nothing wrong, but it's not what we thought. It's not, you're not paying a guy all the money to be okay. You're paying him to be that disruptive force, and that's the answer, right? If that happens, then that's where the disruption comes from. Then it makes Armstrong a bit better. It, you know, allows Frankie Louvu to rush the passer a bit. You get more from Johnny Newton in terms of pass rush. You're not a traditional two defensive ends get up the field, meet you at the quarterback, 20 sacks between them type defense. But a few guys have 5, few guys have 5.5. And, you know, Payne's got 7, and you go, okay, we're hitting the quarterback enough.
Let's go to Brian in Lovettsville. Wants to hop in on Grant and Danny. Brian, do you agree that Washington is much improved?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Got it, buddy.
So I'm going to sound like a Debbie Downer here. I'm going to try not to. I am very, you know, excited for the future. But I do agree that I think we've made a lot of improvements on offense. One gripe I would have is that I wish they had done more at the running back position, bringing a guy like J.K. Dobbins, for example, on a low-dollar contract. But besides that, I like what they've done on offense. But you look to go down the line on defense, I think they've gotten worse at every position group, unfortunately, with the exception of cornerback. But we have no legitimate pass rush, from what I can tell. I still hope they bring in a guy like Jadeveon Clowney or something like that. Grant, I saw you at the D.C. Defenders game when they went to overtime. I was like, this is weeks ago. Can we get a pass rusher? We still haven't got one. Look at linebacker. There's no depth whatsoever. Any injuries happen to Louvu or Wagner, we don't have anybody with any real experience coming off the bench to replace either of them. Replace Jeremy Chinn with Harris, which I guess could be kind of a wash, but I like Chinn a lot. I thought he
was good.
Yeah, I think they'd be lucky, Brian, if that ends up being a wash. Appreciate the call. Let's go spot by spot. Because he said, you know, other than corner, he's not sure they're better anywhere, which might be slightly hyperbolic, but let's go through it. So at defensive end, first of all, you lost your only double-digit sack guy in Dante Fowler. You did not replace him. I think they have gotten much better as a run-stuffing.
They are definitely better as run
defensive end room. You cannot convince me, you cannot tell me they're better as a pass-rushing defensive end room. They've gotten worse in that way. Not that Fowler would have even repeated 11 sacks, but he would have had, in my opinion, more than Wise is going to as the guy that is the de facto replacement.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, they showed you what the priority was, right? I mean, again, it's not about what they say, what they do. Here's what they did. They got a lot bigger, run stuffing. They showed you that this is where we're going to spend the resources. We got 10 chips, we just move 4 chips into stopping the run.
So, but defensive end, if we're going binary, better or worse, I would say worse. Because of the loss of Fowler, even though, and maybe, you know, maybe I'll go wash, if that's possible. Because I think you are better in one area and you're worse in one area. But worse as a pass rushing group, I think Wise is a good, I really liked Wise in New England, I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe wash. But it is far from a strength.
Yeah, I would say slightly worse, but we're in the same ballpark.
All right, D-tackle, John Allen leaves, Javon Kinlaw comes in starting next to Payne. Johnny Newton in year 2 is a big deal because I think he could make a pretty sizable jump forward. They also brought in Eddie Goldman, who's retired multiple times from the NFL. He's not a kid by any means. He's a local guy. He's huge. If he makes the team, helps as a run-stuffing presence probably. They've still got Sheldon Day. Some of the guys that played at the end of last season that were okay. D-tackle, better or worse?
Slightly worse. Now, again, the variables, if Daron Payne is the guy that we're talking about in the offseason that Dan Quinn singled out and that everybody said looks like he's in great shape, if he's a star, then by virtue of his glow-up, you're better. But to me, I think on paper, they're worse than they were last year.
I agree. I think you're worse. My variable is Newton, though. I think there's a better chance Johnny Newton plays at a much higher level than people think, than that Payne gets back to his old ways. Although, should be noted that Daron Payne's been one of the most singled out players by the coaching staff and one of the most praised players they've been heaping all kinds of kind words onto this offseason. Linebacker. This one's really interesting because you've got Wagner and Luvu. In today's NFL, you basically use two linebackers at a time. This is not your older brothers, you know, weak Mike, Sam, you know, weak side, strong side, Will, Mike, or Sam. What do you play? This is now basically your two linebackers off ball, and then your, you know, Mike with the green dot, and your other guy is roaming around like Frankie Luvu on the weak side. On that, I think Luvu's going to end up being a pass rusher a lot because it's the only way to really get the pressure they need off the edge, which means one of the other linebackers is going to play a bunch. Who is that? Is it a safety they bring down in that tweener Landon Collins role, like a Dominique Hampton, remember, who they drafted in the fifth round last year? Or is there somebody else like that that they like a lot in that role, like Tyler Owens? I mean, not him as an example. He's long and skinnier, but maybe Percy Butler, who plays that role a little bit. I think most likely, though, Danny, they just drafted Kane Medrano at a UCLA, the sixth-round pick. They had Jordan McGee, who they took in the fifth round last year, who was a really impressive tackler collegiately. One of those two guys probably plays a lot more. Mm-hmm. But if that is the case, then you're going to have a hard time telling me that's a better linebacker room if you're getting more McGee or a bunch of Medrano's a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, I think it's a wash because last year it was Michael Walker who was on the field a ton.
But he barely played.
Well, but, you know, in that was your depth. That was your backup, right? And you still had Hampton. You still had Nick Belor, who played some snaps for them. That group is still there. The difference now is a healthy Jordan McGee, who we don't know. The idea of him is very good. We don't know. Again, we don't know. We haven't seen him in a whole lot of regular season action. And then, again, the idea of Kane Medrano is very exciting. A linebacker that can run, that's, you know, in between, the hybrid. Like, people fall in love with the idea of somebody. Whether or not he can play, we don't know. But to me, it's pretty much a wash because your two main guys are still your two main guys. And a third person that's not as good as those two guys will fill in when Luvu's rushing the passer.
So I agree with that, but do you agree with a couple of premises here? Number one, whoever the third guy is will play a lot more than Michael Walker did last year. He only played 7% of snaps, 77 snaps all year long, because they didn't have Luvu standing up nearly as often as I think they will this year, because they had Fowler. They had pass rush, you know, with the guy that was getting double-digit sacks. I could be wrong about my hypothesis.
No, but you're looking at the roster the same way the rest of us are going, where's it coming from?
I think Luvu,
the guy that had 8+,
stands up on the edge and is their leading pass rusher, kind of coming off the edge a bunch. And that means on all those downs where they switch his role, someone's going to play linebacker. And if it is a third linebacker on the depth chart, younger, faster player maybe than Walker or any of those other guys, just that means that they're not as good. Also, Wagner's a year older. Now, I don't know if you care about that much, but it's not like he's fleet of foot anymore. I'm still a big Bobby Wagner believer. I'm glad they kept him around. I thought that was pertinent. But he's going to be 35 years old this year. He looked okay at 34.
Yeah.
At some point, you run into the wall. I just think now a year older at 35 with your main guy, plus your other guy having to help out in another area, plus maybe more of your depth, all equals a slight downgrade at linebacker, not a wash.
I think that's fair. I mean, to me, again, it's in that category. If it's a 4 out of 5, a 4 out of 10, a 5 out of 10, well, it's a pretty similar group to me from last year, just shuffling up a little bit.
Okay. Next, let's go to corner. They're better at corner. How much better is going to decide, determined by Marshon Lattimore. But when you go get Jonathan Jones and Trey Amos, Jones, who's a veteran, who you can make the case is a significant upgrade over like a Benjamin St. Juste or what have you. Trey Amos, rookie, yes, but a guy that in the second round I think immediately plays and helps. I don't know what they're going to do with Sanders still. Does he go to the nickel or does he stay outside? If he stays outside, I'm perfectly fine with that because he showed promise last year. I think he could be one of the best nickel corners in the league pretty quickly. So if you moved him into the nickel and then you have the outside guys that are both new, let's say Amos, Lattimore, or Jones, whatever it looks like, you're still four deep at that position, whereas it used to be kind of, with the idea that Lattimore was good, too deep.
I think this is their most improved position on defense. And I don't think it's good yet. I think it's a lot better simply because last year at this point, it was Emmanuel Forbes, Michael Davis, Benjamin St. Juste.
Bad. And I don't think St. Juste is as bad as everybody else does, but constantly penalized.
But not good. Noah Igbinoghene went from a guy that's going to play a ton to right now probably won't play that much if it goes according to plan. So, to me, this is where they've upgraded the most. And I'm not a Lattimore believer.
But if Lattimore is the real deal, and he plays his butt off this year,
then that's where they're good.
Then that's a legit position.
Yes, indeed.
Safety, I think they got worse because they lost a guy who was one of their unsung heroes last year in Chin. Mm-hmm. I'm open to the idea that Harris could help them a lot.
I think it'll be solid.
I just think it's going to be a hard time to get what they got out of Chin in year one.
I agree with that. Yeah, I don't think he's a disaster talking about Harris, but I think it's a lower ceiling maybe type player. But again, filling in there.
Quan Martin's legit, though.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's a little bit slept on.
That's the only Rivera feather in the cap.
Let's go to Vic and Akakeek on G&D. What's up, Vic?
G&D, what's up, y'all?
What do you make of this? So we're looking at this NFL.com piece. They've got the Commanders as one of the most improved teams this offseason.
Offensively, they are. They're good enough offensively that if I'm a general manager, per what they signed, on what they drafted on the line, or what they signed on the line, I'm already preparing my mind to make a pitch for Cliff Kingsbury, because they're going to be able to run the football, and this could very much evaporate the idea that his offenses lack the ability to run the football, because they're going to be able to do it well this year, and they have a quarterback that can pre-snap, post, and post-snap read, and has the arm talent that also can run. So you're going to put yourself in a position where your offense can really put points on people and really move the chains consistently. Defensively, it's not about – I don't know if they're yet, period. It's not about personnel, more or less. We had personnel last year that could do the things that we should have been able to do. It's about reading keys. It's about gap control. It's about tackling. It's about being able to not get out leverage. These are fundamental things. I say this all the time, guys. This is not going to change. It's not going to change until I see it. If we can do that better, then we're better. The Eagles do not have a top 10 pass rusher, but they don't. They stop the run, and they squeeze the field in an intermediate passing game and down the field.
Well, remember what they had last year that kind of changed the game for them was Zach Bond played at an all-pro level at Mike linebacker. And that's one thing it seems like that the great defenses in this league all seem to have in common is that production. And Bobby Wagner is that field general who theoretically can give you some of that. I thought they needed some more speed, and I thought they went out and got some of that, but they mostly prioritized size, interestingly.
Like, up front they did, yeah.
Where I was going, let's go get faster, they were going, let's get bigger. Let's get more physical. They really want to stop the run, and they should. Look at your division, Saquon Barkley. Look at your conference, the Detroit Lions, with – you know, Jahmyr Gibbs tearing you up in the playoff game. Luckily, they stopped handing him the ball, and your offense went for 40 points. But if they can't stop the run better this year, then they miscalculated on the personnel, because they clearly spent enough money
and prioritized it, yeah.
Did enough to make sure that they stopped the run a lot better. Grant and Danny on the Fan. How are you winning off the field? It's Friday, so in lieu of a double play, we want to know what's going right in your day that nobody else would care about on G&D.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Go up and then, oh, they stay there, of course. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is time to figure out how you are winning off the field. 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067. These are little teeny tiny mini moral victories.
I'm going to keep mine pretty simple, GP. It sounds like this. You ready?
Oh, I'm familiar with that card.
Do you want to get yours out and do it too?
Yeah. Mine's going to be a little more of a metallic high pitch.
Yeah, so I'm going to drop it a second. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. There's your drop sound. That's your VIP card. All right, ready to drop at the same time. 1, 2, 3. That's a cacophony of Pupatella VIP card drops. They don't like to see me coming. Just off of Glebe Road.
They might like to see you coming.
Nah, they don't love it.
Oh, so you went to the Glebe Road location.
Yeah, so the one that's on the way. So I mistakenly, it's a long story, no one cares about it, but I thought we weren't allowed to go to the one in Arlington, but there's two in Arlington, and right. This one's fine. So this one's on the way to the station. I brought pizza for the boys. They kind of roll their eyes when
it
I roll in
delicious.
There.
It looked delicious. I'm sad that I couldn't enjoy it, but Ryan, I think, and Strober and Tobes and Darius.
Strober and Tober, everybody got some.
All got what they needed out of the experience. Thank you to the good people over at Pupatella.
The Pupatella situation, my friend.
Winning off the field.
Thank you, Bruce. I forgot that part.
Like how they all wear those red fedoras, especially at that location, but I think they do it at all the locations.
I like that there's that little tiny car that says Pupatella at every Pupatella location.
That's good, too.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like, what place is that? It's the one with the car.
We're joined in studio by a producer here at the Odyssey headquarters.
Hey, Anthony.
Anthony, how are you winning off the field?
Darius almost didn't turn his mic on, by the way.
I know that.
So I woke up this morning and I played my playoff game against your producer in there, Darius Dameron. And it was a defensive battle, and yours truly emerged victoriously. 19-16 in overtime, dramatic fashion.
Therefore, he is
winning on the field.
No, true. Bruce. Don't you do it. Don't undermine him.
Little backstory here. Anthony is known as the villain who has ruined Darius's Madden League.
He has quit the Madden League because of Anthony.
Darius, what's the terminology you use of the sim where you want it to be as authentic as possible?
It's a sim league.
Sim league, okay.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, so it's a league. Sim league, yeah.
They don't go for fourth downs. They don't have like 40 seconds of motion and a bunch of nonsense.
Nope.
They just line up and play football. So Anthony came into the league, and the phrase you guys use is that he is a cheese, right?
A cheese ball.
A cheese ball.
Yeah. Okay. Cheese ball. He plays cheesy.
Right.
There's various ways of saying cheese.
So you guys are two of the 32 coaches in the league. Of the other 30, how many of them have issue with, take umbrage with how he plays?
I would say upwards of about 26,
26.
Of them.
26.
Wow. He has three allies, and one of them is Anthony.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
No, he's saying 26 call him cheese.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, he has three out. There are only three guys left.
No, my guy over here doesn't have a whole lot of countries coming to his defense.
I'm an honest man.
At this juncture.
I'm an honorable man.
He's ruined your league. Now, you basically, after years of Madden being your favorite thing and your passion in the world.
I've been running the league for 9 years.
9 years. You said about a month after he joined the league that this would be the final.
You said this is going to be it.
The final go-round because he ruined everything.
That'd be correct, yes. This is the end.
And today was what? The last of what?
The last of what? What do you mean?
Well, what was today? Like, are you done now?
Oh, yeah. Today was the end of my Madden career. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sent him into retirement, just like I did Toby.
He has officially sent me into Madden retirement.
Okay, so Toby quit your league after losing to Anthony.
Yes. Yeah, Toby had a 17-0 lead on Anthony in a game, you know, a couple seasons ago. And Anthony came roaring back in the game, and Toby quit in the middle of the game, which you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to quit
in the
game.
Toby actually feels bad about it. He still says it's one of his lowest moments.
Yeah, and he quit the league, left our Discord chat, everything.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible.
I've never seen Toby rage that way.
No, Toby's the nicest guy ever.
Not that night, he wasn't.
I mean, you're the second nicest guy ever. But what percentage, if there's only two slices of pie here, what percentage is you guys are poor sport, sore losers, and what percent is Anthony is the ultimate cheese and he's the bad guy here and you guys are victims?
It's definitely, I would say, 90-10.
90-10.
Which way do you think? It's not the sore loser part.
So it's 90% extra cheese.
Yeah.
It's a 4 queso burrito.
What do you think about that? Are you a cheese ball?
No. I wouldn't say I'm a cheese ball. The thing is, I told Darius I'm gonna use the same playbook I used on him earlier in the season to beat him. And guess what I did? I beat him again. Fair and square. He knows the plays, he knows what's coming. You got to stop it, dude. And also, I didn't score an offensive touchdown until overtime. Like, he was stopping me. He has to go out there and put up some points. I can't help the fact that he only put up 16 points. You got to go score.
You didn't score an offensive touchdown until overtime?
Yep.
He claims to us all the time that his cheese has gone lesser. Like, that he's on a diet from cheese.
Yeah, he came in here a couple weeks ago and was like, yeah, I got these new plays and I'm break out on you. I didn't see not one new play in the freaking billions of times that we've played each other.
Oh, my God!
I haven't seen one new play from him. It's the same stuff over and over again that he's been doing for these last two years.
Okay? Is it cheese plays?
Yes.
What makes him cheese?
It's stuff that clearly is like exploiting the game and stuff where you go and play a ranked game against some online random donk who's, you know, not working a job and sitting at home 12 hours a day streaming themselves playing Madden. It's that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff the stuff that you learn from dudes on YouTube and somebody on Twitter who's like, hey guys, today's the day where I'm going to teach you how to break cover three on Madden. Like, it's that kind of stuff.
And is that what you use, Anthony? Is that where you got it?
No.
Where'd you get it?
I lab. I get in practice mode. That's what I do.
Yeah, lab is a phrase that those dudes on YouTube and Twitter say. So, congrats.
I mean, if you're going to call me a cheater because I use the terminology, those two things don't correlate.
Can you give me an example of a cheese play? Like, you've said before, cheese is he's rerouting everybody. He's doing stuff at the line, which happens in the NFL with, like, a Peyton Manning or something. Not to the extent that he does it. I grant you that. But what is a play where you'd say, like, that is BS?
So, say, for example, today there was a route combination that he didn't hit against me because he overthrew it because Will Levis stinks. Thank God. But there was a route combination.
Will Levis? Oh, yeah, that's worse.
Yeah, he has Will Levis. He made him like a 99 because he's throwing for 6,000 passing yards, which shouldn't even be happening. But that's what happens when you throw 70 times a game and only run the ball twice. But, you know, that's another cheesy thing, but I won't get to that.
Okay.
I tried to run the ball on the 2-yard line, and guess how many yards I got? -1. I ran 3 straight times. I got -1. But if he runs the ball, he has a running back that breaks 20 tackles, that falls forward for 10. Nobody complains about Darius running stretch plays inside zone repeatedly, 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 and you can't stop it because guess what? His running back is Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, all in one. Like, come on, bro. No, like, that is taking advantage of the
game. Now, is that cheese?
That is cheese. I view it as cheese, but guess what? I don't complain.
How is me drafting a really good running back, a really good player, cheese? That doesn't make any sense. Come on now.
What are we? Did you run the same run plays all the time?
I do not run the same run plays all the time. I've done this before where I've gone back and charted every play that I ran in a game versus you, and I don't run any particular play more than once or twice against you. Whereas you'll run the same play against me at least four times, sometimes three times in a drive, you'll run the same play
you
against me.
You can't run the same play three times in a drive.
You definitely can.
There is a play lock.
There is, but that play lock only lasts for 3 to 4 plays.
I'm very conscious of the plays I run. On the drive, so I'm running the same play.
That's
on the
fine.
Drive.
All right.
Yep. So, but cheese means you run the same play too much. But anyway, we got to go. But give me the play. Like, give me an example of a cheese.
So play. There's a route combination where you have a receiver from the slot run a streak, and then another receiver run a post over the streak. That causes the defensive AI to freak out. The center fielder won't follow that post route.
So it's taking advantage of
the defensive AI. Yeah, correct.
And do you agree with that, Anthony?
I haven't even run that.
Okay. All right.
Can you
produce a video, Dan?
This is what we do. This is how this happens.
He said a streak and a post. I don't run
so
that.
So why don't you stay in the league and sort this out?
It's over.
Why would I waste my time anymore?
It's over now.
I'm good. I'm going to move on to...
Are you going to miss Madden?
I don't know. We'll find out. But I'm good.
If you start another league, will Anthony get into it?
I won't start another league, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm done.
Will you ever play Anthony again?
Absolutely never again. That's the best part of today, is that I know I never have to play him ever again.
I have the bragging rights. I beat Darius the last time we played, and hopefully I win this AFC title game, because if I do, I'm going to win the league, and I'm riding off in the sunset.
You ruined the league, and then you'll be standing there in the ashes. Last thing real quick. You and Darius, all time, what's the record?
I don't know. I'm winning.
I think he might have a slight edge. He might.
The last one.
It's probably close. No, yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
He's wearing Celtic shorts, too. Warm right in your face.
Beltway Blitz is next. We've got a D.C. council member we haven't had on yet, Zachary Parker, to talk about the stadium at 425.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.